I'm so excited to be here tonight. Real happy. I love this church. And let me tell you, I first love it because y'all put on loan Brother Earl. And when we came a couple years ago and realized that we needed to start a new program, Brother Earl came up and he's been a part of helping write the curriculum. Afterwards, there's a table in the back with all the books and all that material. It's all been written in the last couple years. And a lot of the weeks and a lot of the material back there, Brother Earl has written it and been a part of that, and he has been a great friend, a great advisor. A couple years ago, when we realized the need to create a new addictions ministry, our pastor flew in, Earl Sides, Andrew Freidenstein, Dr. George Crabb, Ben and Wendy Burks, locked us in a room and said, figure it out. And so we've been figuring it out the last couple years, and praise the Lord with the great team we've gone through. And Brother Earl's brought to the table. He's one of the kindest people I know. And maybe he isn't here, but let me tell you, I've never met anybody any nicer than him. And he is so loving and kind, teaches me so much. Second reason I love your church is you support my son. My son is Austin Cowling, married to Roddy, and they are missionaries to the Philippines. And you've had a huge investment in their lives. Things move slowly in the Philippines. So they got there in August, and you had given them money for transportation and to invest in transportation, a large sum of money. And they did not get their boxes that they shipped until just before Christmas. It was an extra Christmas present a couple weeks before Christmas. They got all the boxes they shipped in July, arrived in December, and they were excited about that. And then at the just a couple weeks ago, they received their visas, permanent visas, and so they can buy a car now. As we speak, they're headed to the dealership, and they got all the paperwork. Now, again, things move slowly in the Philippines. He spent his last 3 days standing in government lines so he could buy a car. And so he sent me a message when I was in the air. I get to go tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, which is coming up here in just a couple hours, and pick up my car. So he's so excited, and you have an investment in that. And the souls that are saved by being transported in that car are going to be because of you, because y'all are the ones who primarily bought that thing for him. So I sure do love you, and I thank you for investing in my son. The last reason that I love this church is I left this morning, and when I got on the airplane, it was 15 degrees with a wind chill of about 7 degrees, all right? We've had snow since December on the ground, and we're going into another Arctic chill this next week where we're going to go into sub-zero temperatures, and here it's 70s and 80s. I will tell you right now, I am sweating because I am not used to how warm it is, all right? So you may have trouble getting me on the airplane on Saturday, all right? Take your Bibles, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, going to talk to you about something. And so many times we go through so many things in life that we wonder, how in the world am I going to survive? Oh, we go through times where, you know, we all love it when we go and we get the extra check in the mail. We love it when things are going well. But how do we do when there's struggles? How do we do when there's struggles in our health? How do we do when there's struggles in our finances? How do we do when there's struggles with our children? And we're going through lots of trouble and trauma. We're going to look at an interesting story here tonight about a prophet and a widow woman who went through a struggle together, and we're going to look at how they managed this struggle and how they dug out of an empty barrel because God was providing for them. If you look with me in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 8. 1 Kings 17 verse 8, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he had came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help our hearts recognize that you are there and that your provision is always there and that we can trust you through the trials that we go through. Guide and direct our steps now in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see here is the plight. There was drought in Israel. It's no fun when there's drought and you can't get things. Think about if we go back a couple years to 2020, and when COVID hit, there was a drought. You said there was a drought. I know there was COVID. What was there a drought in? There was a drought of toilet paper. Yeah? Okay, I mean, you know, the craziest thing was when everybody would find out where there was toilet paper, there would be a run on that store. I saw giant lines and everybody fighting each other. I actually saw, Pastor, a fight at Sam's Club over the last pack of toilet paper. These two guys got into it and they had to call security and everything. It was awesome, all right? But drought does crazy, crazy things. And here we see that there was drought. The next thing I want you to see, though, in this plight, that Israel's sin had affected both the good and bad. This widow woman had, you know, she had sin in her life, but she was not the reason for the drought here, okay? It was Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah, God used him to say, it's not going to rain here, but it wasn't because of his sin. But yet they were still affected by it. You know, we often want to take and put a reason why there is trouble. We'll often say, Brother Earl, well, you know, that sister over there, she's having trouble because you know what she did, you know. And that's how we get. But it's not often that way. And Christ even dealt with that. They came to him and said, why is this man blind? What did he do or what did his parents do? But it doesn't work that way. Here, they had drought because everybody was affected, even though it was a certain group of people who had sinned. But what we tend to do is we tend to isolate and then make ourselves the target. Oh, me. I'm going through trials right now. Oh, it's so bad. And we love to make ourselves the victim. Now, by the way, are we supposed to be a victim or victorious? Victorious. Why? Because we're a child of God. We're saved. We have the power of God in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Comforter. Yet we isolate and make ourselves the target. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not tempt you above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that she may be able to bear it. Sometimes I've heard people get up and say, oh, God's not going to hand anything to you that you can't handle. That's not exactly what that says. It says, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that she may be able to bear it. The fact is, what we have to realize is that God has escapes for us in the midst of the battle. We're going to talk about that escape as we go through this passage of what God had for them. But we have to look to God. The second thing we notice about that verse is says that the temptations is common to man. We often want to make ourselves the victim and say it's so bad. But hey, I can always find somebody who's got it worse. I one day was feeling sorry for myself. Now, I know none of you ever do this, okay? But I was having a bad day. And I was going out soul winning, and the secretary called me and said, "Brother Tommy's in the hospital." And I turned to my soul winning partner, and I said, "Oh, I don't want to go see this guy." I was having a bad attitude. And then he said, "Why don't you want to go see him?" I said, "Because I'm going to go in there, and he's got MS, and his body's getting crippled, and he's in bad shape, and I'm only going to feel worse today." And we went up to the hospital, and I walk in, and Tommy goes, "Hey, Pastor." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I am so blessed." He said, "Watch this. I can move my finger today." I started bawling my eyes out. Because the Holy Spirit conviction came over my life and said, "You're a loser, dude." All right. Because I had been feeling sorry for myself. I had been feeling like everything was against me. And here's this man who had lost control of his body, was praising God because he could move his finger. You know, after I got done telling him, or talking to him, he said, "Make sure you leave me more tracks. I saw two saved yesterday." You know, the fact is life is what we deem it to be. We have a great God, and we have to take and put our thinking in the right place. So God, in this plight, was still providing in the midst of the struggle. He used ravens by the brook, and then he's using the widow woman to provide food. The second thing we see here is the command. God sent Elijah to strange places for provision. He sent Elijah to strange places for provision. First, let's look at the providers. A raven. Now, we don't have time to get into it, but this was not good for Elijah to be receiving food from a raven. But can you imagine? God says, "Go over by the brook, and I'm going to take care of you." And all of a sudden, he looks up, and you got raven number one and raven number two flying around. And God's in connection with those ravens and says, "Okay, raven number one, I need you to zoom down, and I need you to drop some food down to Elijah." And raven number two says, "Raven number one, I'm right here. Are you ready to fly down and drop the food?" Okay? Really weird way to take care of provision, but God took care of it, and Elijah accepted it. The second thing we see here is the widow woman was a provision for him. Can you imagine, as we read in verse 8, God said in 9, "I want you to go over here, and I want you to go to this widow woman, and I want you to receive food." You would think that he would say, "Let's go to a mansion, and over here they have food stored up." But this woman had no husband, no money, and no hope. Think about it. There was so much no hope. She said, "All I have is two sticks because that's all the size of the cake that I can cook. That's all I need." It was a bad situation. It was an unusual situation. We sometimes want to see God's provision in a big way. But sometimes God wants us to dig out of an empty barrel, and God wants to use unusual circumstances to take care of us. And we have to trust him. The Bible says in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And the fact is we have to take and say, "God, I accept where you have me today. God, I accept how you're going to provide for me today. It may be unusual, it may be crazy, but I will accept what you're going to provide for me." You know, some of us have a little bit of a problem in this area with self-righteousness. You know, sometimes, well, we don't take anything from anybody. Do you ever think that maybe God is using that person to provide for you? We have to always have our mind frame open to whatever God has to take care of our needs and how he wants to meet them. Next, I want you to see the obedience and faith. Let's look at Elijah first. Elijah had to humble himself. He had to obey with confidence, and he had to have faith that God is in control. This took a lot of faith on his part, because I want you to think about it. Going to this lady with confidence and said, when he said, go get me some water, and then he said, go get me this, and she says, I have nothing, and he said, still do it. I don't know if I could have done that, Brother Earl. Can you imagine? What if Pastor tonight walked up to the widow here and says, listen, God told me you're going to give me $100 tonight. That would, yeah. Not good, huh? But God wants us to dig out of an empty barrel. God wants us to take and humble ourselves so that we can receive from him. Take your Bibles and turn them over to 2 Chronicles 7. Just flipping over a few pages. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I often believe that we miss out on so many blessings because we do not take and humble ourselves and properly communicate with our God and obey our God to what he wants us to do. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to humble ourselves and go to God and have that faith that he is in control and that he will take care of whatever is there. My dad used to say, he says, I cannot prove this. He says, but I think we're going to get to heaven. And there's going to be this warehouse that we walk into. And he said, we're going to see and be walking past all these different rooms with all these nice things. And we're going to see a room with our name on it. We're going to see a room full of things that have our name on it. And we're going to say, what's that for? And God's going to look at us and says, oh, that's all the things I wanted to have for you, but you weren't in the right place to receive them. Now, I can't prove that from the Bible, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Because there's so many times that we get stuck in ourselves and we're not in the place for God to provide for us and we just choose to have our own free will. Let's look at this widow woman. She had to trust and obey God's commandment. Colin, are you in here? Can you help me, Colin? I have something down here. Now, this widow woman had to dig out of an empty barrel. So I have two barrels tonight. All right, and you're gonna hold a barrel for me right there. Now, Colin gets to hang on to this barrel. Now, if you had to choose, would you want this barrel or this barrel? You want Colin's barrel, don't you? And it smells pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's salted and buttered. All right, good popcorn here. All right, this is how we want our barrels to be. This is how we want to walk life. Oh, yeah, we're pretty good. It starts to get low. But can you imagine if every day you had to go and dig out of an empty barrel? Can you imagine if every day this is what you had to do and trust the Lord? First, this woman had to trust and obey God. She had to take and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust that you sent somebody for provision here because me and my son are going to die. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. When we're digging out of an empty barrel, we have to go and dig and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you because I don't know where tomorrow's going to come. I don't know how you're going to take care of tomorrow, but I will trust you today. Second, she had to remove her fear. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of sound mind. And the fact is, we have to take and set aside our fear We have to set aside our thinking and our mind frame, because that's not from God, and realize that God has power, love, and a sound mind for us. But how many times do we struggle with love? How many times do we struggle with fear, and we struggle with a sound mind, all because we're not trusting our God? We have to learn to dig out of an empty barrel. We have to learn to say, God, I don't understand it, I can't see it, but I'm going to trust you. Lastly, and this one kind of like gets under our skin a little bit, she had to trust the man of God. You know, sometimes, now I don't believe we have divine inspiration. I don't think there's anything special about us as pastors. I believe we try to rightly divide the word of truth, and we try to live the word of God. But sometimes you got to trust when the man of God says, the Bible says this and you need to do this. You got to trust it. And so many times we sit back rather than accepting the word of God from the pastor, we judge it a little too much. And we have to sit back and hear this man says, the man of God walks up and says, give me all your food, feed me first, and God will take care of you. And she said, okay. And she did it. Can you imagine if she hadn't done that? Can you imagine if she hadn't trusted God? But she didn't have all this. All she had was an empty barrel. Next, the barrel. It only contained enough to accomplish obedience. All that was there was enough for what was there today. So we have to take and recognize that the empty barrel continued as God promised. It said it didn't fail. They went through this time, and can you imagine every morning went there? Oh, there's more in there today. They use it all the next day. There's more in there today. And you know, that's how God works. He comes and he takes care of things and he delivers and he gives us what we need. Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, one of the biggest things that gets us in trouble, it gets us in trouble at work, it gets us in trouble in our family, in our marriage, in our relationships, is that we have want. We have expectations. Pastor Willette's dad created his own ancient Chinese proverb. He who expects nothing is seldom disappointed. And we need to recognize that we have to remove expectations. Why do arguments happen? Expectations. Why do we get frustrated? Expectations. But if we're just happy every day having food and raiment, you got food today, got clothes, dug a little bit out of the empty barrel, let's be content. Let's take and say, okay, God provided today. We get to see what God's going to do tomorrow. But then I want you to see a unique thing. The story didn't stop there. Slide down, if we go back to our passage in 1 Kings chapter 17, as Paul Harvey would say, now the rest of the story. God had a latter reward for her obedience. See, she put herself in the place of God. She did what God told her to do, and God was already setting up provision for something else. Look with me in verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Her son died. We won't take time to read all the passage, but look with me in verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again and revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. So she took and dug out of an empty barrel. She took and obeyed God. She took and obeyed the man of God. And she kept digging and she kept digging and she kept digging and she kept digging. And God provided and everything was great. But God was setting the table so that he could use the man of God again and raise her son from the dead. And so many times we miss out and we say, I just don't understand. This person's all the time talking about this miracle over here. And this person's all the time talking about this miracle over here. And God's using and doing this. Why don't ever I get to see God do anything for me? And many times it's because we didn't start with just digging out of an empty barrel. Being faithful to what God has for us and obedient to him. So our takeaways tonight. Number one, we cannot determine our giving by our situation. Our giving is our time, our talent, and our treasure. You know, so many times we say, well, Pastor, I just don't have time to do that. Dig out of an empty barrel. Well, I don't have the talent to do that. I don't have the ability. Dig out of an empty barrel. Now, if you sing like I sing, you don't want to dig it too much out of the empty barrel, okay? They won't let me in the choir. But dig out of an empty barrel. Your treasure, your pastor was talking about an offering for missions, $30,000. Dig out of an empty barrel. See, we have to take and say, okay, God, I don't understand it. I can't look at my books and say that it is good, but I will trust you. When I was second year in ministry, I was down in Florida. And I will tell you, they did not pay us well. Both my wife and I worked 60 to 80 hours a week. And our total paycheck was $405 a week for the both of us. And we somehow figured out how to survive on that. But the church had taken a food offering for us when we first came, and we were doing okay. And my wife came to me and says, we don't have any food left. We got just a bag of potatoes. And I was on a Wednesday doing the finances, and I said, we have $10 left. And at that time, hamburger was 99 cents a pound. I said, we're going to go get 10 pounds of hamburger, and that'll get us through the next week. We were excited. And then I realized I had made a mistake. I had forgotten something. I had forgotten my tithe. Now, I'd like to say that my first response was good, but my first response was, well, I'll pay it back next week. And my wife says, really? Don't you hate it when your wife's the Holy Spirit? My wife said, we got to pay the tithe. And I wrote the check, and we were going to have potatoes for the next week. Remember putting that in. Next morning, I walked into work, and the finance guy was there, and he was jumping up and down, holding an envelope in his hand. And he said, somebody last night dropped some money in the offering for you. I said, well, praise the Lord. He handed me the check, and it was for $1,000, Brother Earl. $1,000. Digging out of an empty barrel. I was just obedient that night. Praise the Lord, I had the Holy Spirit wife to tell me what to do. Number two, we need to accept how God wants us to give and obey. We said it earlier, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You just got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to accept what you want me to do. I'm going to accept how you want me to give. Number three, we must have faith to trust and obey to do what God instructs us to do. My life's verse is Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to believe that he is. We have to believe that he will take care of it in his way, his timing, and I just have to obey. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I cannot see the provision, but I must trust and obey and do what God tells me to do. And lastly, in God's timing, we then see his reward. Tonight, have you been battling some things? Tonight, is there trials and troubles that are frustrating you? Tonight, let's dig out of an empty barrel. Let's go to God and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to have enough strength. I don't know how I'm going to walk through this. I don't know how I'm going to give of my time, my talent, my treasure. But tonight, I'll dig out of an empty barrel. Just obey you today. That's all God's asking for. Dig out of an empty barrel. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, I could think of tonight so many different times where your provision was perfect. Your way was perfect. I just had to be obedient and dig out of that empty barrel. Who would say tonight, Pastor Scott, as you spoke tonight, I could see some areas where I need to trust my God more. And I need to dig out of that empty barrel. Pray for me. Would you raise your hands tonight? Amen. 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 All across the room. All of us have trials. All of us have troubles. Tonight, who would say, you know, I need to trust my God and have the faith to dig out of an empty barrel. Pray for me. Would you raise your hands tonight? Amen. 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 Is there anybody here who would say, you know, I can't even get that far. If I die today, I don't know for sure I go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that? All right, would you stand with me? I know it's a Wednesday night, but God spoke to your heart. It's a great place to dig out of a barrel. That's down at the altar. Say, God, here's my burden. God, I commit tonight to trust you and dig out of that empty barrel. I'll pray if God spoke to you, you come. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, guide and direct our steps now. Lord, help us to dig out of an empty barrel and help us to be obedient to your call during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.